Hi there, this is Pastor Tony Alamo. We're reading through the Bible, and we're in the 13th chapter of Mark, 37 verses, translation and commentary. Then we also, I decided to do an entire series on the word consecration. Now, a lot of people believed, when they're Christians, that they need to just be consecrated, but if your consecration becomes old and you fall away from the Lord, then all the consecration that you were consecrated with at the beginning acts is no longer consecration. It becomes null and void. It's the same thing as the Lord told Ezekiel, that if he had done good for all of his life, and that goes for everybody, that the things that you did that were good, and you just stopped doing, walking in the Spirit, then all the things that you did good in the past is totally washed away. So that means that you were never consecrated before. So our consecration has to stay alive and well each and every day of our life. And no matter how old we get, I remember when I was placed in prison for the gospel's sake, it was a very cold day when I went when they transferred me over to Colorado, Florence, Colorado, and they gave me a big mattress that I had to carry for about a half a mile, and sheets, pillowcases, towels, and all that. And I brought it in, and it was a bunch of strange people into this dormitory, and everybody was playing cards and laughing and joking and everything. And then I went to the cafeteria, and everybody was just laughing and joking and having a good time. And I thought to myself, I wonder why they're so happy at being in prison. It just really got me. And then I found out later that a lot of people are happy to be in prison because they get 3 hot meals a day and a bed to sleep, a cot to sleep on, or a mattress anyway. And they just couldn't make it out in the world. And so they're really happy, but that wasn't the case with myself. And I bowed my head in prayer, and I said, Lord, I mean, I've taken this cross of mine. You said for me to deny myself and take up the cross. And no matter what type of environment you put me in, that this is for the purpose of making me like gold, and you placed me here and allowed me to be placed here for the purpose of winning souls. And I've run into many gangs there, the El Rokans from Chicago, which were one of the, they're right in with the Mafia and the Vaticanites, the Vatican people, and I was in with the Nazis, the skinheads, the Mexican Mafia, the Bloods, the Crips, the Bones, the Tongues, every kind of gang on the face of this earth was in those prisons. And I was transferred from the Memphis prison to Florence, and then from Florence to Texarkana, Arkansas, federal prisons, all of them. And but I just said, Lord, I was consecrated back in the beginning, and this is the cross that you've caused put me to carry, and this is what I'll do. And I am so glad that I realized that my consecration had to stay, whether I was saved when I was young. I was only 30 years old, and I was, I believe, in my 60s when I went in there. I've been out 8 years, and I'm 71 now. And we have to keep our consecration fresh and young, just as it was, because if we lose the youthfulness of our consecration, then we have never been consecrated before. As the Lord says, you can't be tired of being consecrated. We must remain a heap of ashes before the Lord. We are not to have any future whatsoever. We have to totally give up the future and just remain on the altar and let the Lord use us in the manner that he wants to use us in. And I'm so glad that I know that, and I love to pass that on to those of you that would like to take the benefit, receive the benefit of my experience in the Lord. And that's what the Lord has sent me into the world for, is to be bold and not be afraid to tell you people that are lost and dying, and those of you that are not mature in the Lord yet, you must keep your consecration live and new and fresh. Don't ever lose that, because if you do, you've lost your soul. You're lost, and swift destruction will come upon you, as I was mentioning that happened to the people of Jerusalem. In the book of Lamentations yesterday, the message was from chapter 4, and it was talking about how has the gold, the precious gold, golden people that went through consecration, how has it become dull? Many of the people never thought that the Jerusalem would ever be destroyed, because they just knew that Jerusalem was the pride and joy of God Almighty. And now that was symbolic of the New Jerusalem, which we are today. And we that are of the New Jerusalem, because the Old Jerusalem is, they sinned and God took away the covenant between them and himself. And so he made a new covenant. We have to make a covenant with the Lord according to the new covenant. We must take Christ into us and keep him there. Keep ourselves consecrated, a heap of ashes, until the end. Otherwise, we're not consecrated at all. And the Lord will come upon us with swift destruction, as he did his chosen people in the Old Testament, if we don't continue on in our consecration. Now, he said that the people of Sodom will not receive the punishment that his people who were gold at one time and decided that were consecrated to him at one time and decided to become dull and leave their consecration. He said that he will bring swift destruction upon them. I mean, the people back there thought God would never allow that to happen to Jerusalem, but he did. And he'd do the same thing to us. He says it would be better that you had never been born than for you to accept Christ and to receive the Holy Spirit and to know the things of the Lord, and then begin preferring the filth and the degeneracy of the world. Now, you know, we're clean, we're filled with the Spirit, and everything is crystal and clear, and happiness and joy and consecration. You've settled in that you know that there's no life at all, no eternal life without God. And so he wants us to remain consecrated, a heap of ashes, so that he can live out his life in and through us, so that he can accomplish that which he has purposed to accomplish from before the foundation of the earth in his chosen vessels, in the vessels that he has called and chosen. Now, many are called, but very few are chosen. Because it's like we go to a market where there's a lot of vegetables, and some of them are good and some are bad. So we take them all, and then we've chosen to take them all, called them all in. And then we look through them, and then there's only a few of them that we choose. The bad ones with blemishes on them, or that's rotten, or got wormholes in them, we throw it away because we don't want it. But some people that are really don't have money, hardly any money at all, they cut the wormholes away and everything, and they dine on that. But the Lord doesn't do that. He must be broken with the contrite, broken spirit and a contrite heart, and you must be walking in the Spirit, which means that you're perfect. Now, they say that no one is perfect. Well, no one that is out of the Spirit is perfect. You're condemned if you're out of the Spirit. But if you're in the Spirit, and you're not condemned, and so therefore you are considered by God to be perfect. You may make mistakes and, you know, look foolish from time to time, but if you're walking in the Spirit, you are perfect according to God. All right, so let's go to the throne of the Lord to ask the Lord to anoint outwardly, continue anointing outwardly, and to begin doing what he wills in this service. Lord, we ask that you anoint outwardly, and let nothing be said in this service that is from myself or from anyone else but you. You are the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. You are this one God. And you are the life-giving Spirit, the eternal life-giving Spirit. And we ask, Lord, that you edify the church and save. Let those people that are unsaved, their spirits inwardly hear and see the truth, so they can be saved today and right now in Jesus' name. And everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right, now let's see, where's the first letter from?
From Malawi, Africa.
Okay, let's hear it.
Dear our beloved brother in Christ, Pastor Tony Alamo, our world pastor, our warm and joyous Christian greetings and God's blessings to you all and your ministry. Thank you very, very much for your great works, which are, you are still supporting us here in Africa to every ministry. Also all around the whole world with your religious materials, i.e. Holy Bibles, literature, and cassette tapes.
Yes, we're on the air now on three different major stations that covers all of Africa, which is over 1 billion people. And they say that there's over 500 million listeners. And those 500 million will go and tell the other 500 million that didn't listen. Amen?
Amen.
And we just got on stations in Philippines, all throughout India, and throughout major other places. Sri Lanka, is that it?
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know how to pronounce it right, let alone, but it's, how do you pronounce that?
Sri Lanka.
Sri Lanka, that's what I said. I lucked out. All right, and then many other spots. We've got the Lord has allowed us to have the entire world covered, and we're given an opportunity to be on the church television station with a 1 hour program. So pray about that, and if I see the support is coming in from there, well, you'll be able to see my smiling face right on television in your area. It's worldwide, and it's an open door, and I believe that we've been on television for 10 years, but Susie did most of the preaching, as a matter of fact, all of it at that time, and I just didn't want to preach because she was able to say a lot more back then when I was a babe in the Lord than in 5 minutes than I would be able to say throughout a whole hour broadcast. And she kept trying to get me to do it, but now it looks like, you know, now that Sue is gone, it looks like these doors are opening for me. And I'll go willingly if that's definitely the Lord. But you got to support me, you understand? Because that's going to be a lot of extra finances. And it's just to get the gospel out. Usually, a friend of mine who was the attorney for the Worldwide Church of God told me that you never really get a lot of ties in from the television audience or radio audiences. We primarily have to pay for it ourselves, but every so often there's some wealthy person that says, okay, I'll sponsor your television program, and they just pretty much take care of it all yourself. And his name was Stanley Rader. He's the attorney for the Worldwide Church of God, which is now broken up. And he told me that years ago, and that's true, because in the 10 years that we were on television, we hardly ever got a tithe or an offering, because everybody out there thinks that these TV ministries are making so much money. But in reality, he said two or three people that had a lot of money believed in the message that they were giving, which was a message of British Israelite. They believed that they were the Israelites. They said that the people from Denmark were the tribe of Dan, and they just had all kinds of heresy. The ones that are the real Jews are the ones that are in Israel fulfilling Bible prophecy. And don't let anyone kid you. It's not black people. It's not the Danish people, the Norwegians, the Swedes, the Vikings, or anybody like that. It's the Jews. They're over there fulfilling Bible prophecy. And it's those of us that God has called in these last days. My real name is Bernie Lazar Hoffman, and I'm Jewish. And Susie, my wife, is Jewish also. And he said we'd be calling 144,000 Jews that are the elect to be preaching the gospel to the people just before Christ comes back to earth again. And And here we are, or here we is, whatever you prefer, all right? And so we're coming right at you, you know, if, through the radio, and we'd like to come through to you on television, but let's all pray that maybe one to three of these big-time sponsors will rise up and sponsor our program throughout the world, because we realize that the people out in that world out there don't have much money anymore, especially with the rising gas prices and the tsunamis and the people that are out of job because of the hurricane that the Lord brought down on these different areas. Now, we just saw a thing in the paper today where Billy Graham and his son Franklin don't believe that it was the wrath of God that's bringing all these different major catastrophes on the earth, but the Bible says that it is God. And I can understand Billy saying that, because he said, they asked him if he thought that homosexuals were going to hell, and he said he didn't know. And my God, how can he call himself a teacher of the Bible if you don't know that? Of course, all sinners are going to hell if they don't repent, into the lake of fire. So Billy, I hope you listen to my tape so that you can now know. Just read the Bible and you'll see. Amen?
Amen.
God says that even the his own chosen people, and like if you were one of them at one time, if you don't start really telling people the truth, if you're just so afraid of the homosexuals to just hold that in, that God says this, the people of Sodom and Gomorrah will have it better than you will. We just read that in the fourth chapter of Lamentations yesterday, where he said that the plagues and the curses on his own chosen people will be worse because they knew the truth than the people that he suddenly rained down all his wrath on Sodom and Gomorrah. So it was so many fallen away Christians are constantly condemning the people of Sodom, but the Lord says that they were better than you are if you've fallen away. Amen?
Amen.
And that the curses on you will be worse than them. And remember how suddenly the Lord came down on Sodom and Gomorrah, and he can do the same to you. He says he'll bring swift destruction on those that don't continue on in their consecration to him. And consecration, again, is giving up your entire future, that you don't have a future anymore, and you don't try to plan a future in the body of Christ either. Some people say, I want to be a pastor, I want to be a preacher, a teacher, or something. I never wanted to do any of those things. I just wanted to be God's humble servant. And you know something? Those are the ones that God's going to shove right in front, because he can trust them. They never get puffied up, okay? Puffed up or puffied up either, okay? And so don't want for anything. Just be happy that you're saved, amen? And then if God wants to shove you up there in the front, I'll be glad to let you take my place, because, you know, I never wanted this. And Susie didn't want it either. But again, those are the ones that the Lord always shoves up to the top, because it's a cross-carrying situation. It's a situation of self-denial. And you have to really carry the cross and just deny yourself and follow the Lord Jesus Christ in his self-denial and consecration. And you have to do it to the end. If the Lord, you know, the devil really hit the Lord at the end there, because the Lord said that he despised the shame of the cross. I mean, they strip you naked and hang you up on a cross and the pain and beating you and spitting on you. Nobody likes that. And it's for sure God in the flesh didn't like that either. However, he was consecrated and stayed consecrated even through all that, so that his precious blood would be shed on the cross, so that you, who exalt yourself higher than God, could be saved. But if you exalt yourself, you're going to be abased. And if you leave your consecration, you're going to have swift destruction on you. Just like the people that in Indonesia, And just like people, where you see all sorts of earthquakes and hurricanes and twisters and typhoons and all these things, you're going to, and all the diseases in the world, and all the catastrophes and the terrorism where people are being blown up, God could warn those people if they were really close to Him. Noah prayed to God, and because of the fact that he prayed to God and trusted the Lord, his heart was right with God. And a person that prays, they will always hear God. But if you're not concerned about where you hear God and get direction from Him, you will not pray. You're not at all concerned about praying because you just don't believe in God. You're not believing that He's hearing you or going to answer you. But because of the fact that Noah prayed to Him always, he said He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And I want to tell you, He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and me. Okay? Amen. Because He's my God too. Amen?
Amen?
And that's what you want Him to be, is your God as well, don't you?
Yes.
Well, He says He is if you just lay into Him like that and stay there. Right?
Right.
He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and me. Now, if you're jealous of me, then you want to say, me too. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so make sure that He is your God. Amen?
Amen.
And you can do that by listening to the Word. Now, let's hear the rest of the letter.
May our dear Father God bless
you
all.
Yeah, because, well, I want to just finish. Because of the fact that Noah prayed to Him and listened to Him, he was able to preserve his life because he was able to hear the Lord tell him to build a boat, amen, a ship, a big ship. And if He wasn't talking to him, then he would have been drowned as well as the rest of the people in the world. So it's very important to pray and very important to listen, because God may have you build a boat or a canoe or something. And some of those people wish they would have had a canoe or a boat or a raft or a stick of wood to hang on to during that flood in New Orleans and Mississippi and all those other places. All right, now let's finish the rest of the letter here.
May our dear Father God bless you all and give you good strength and peace! Exclamation point. In our ministry, I will continue remembering you with prayers all the time for your good works and mercy. Thank you very, very much for your large box of literature and Bibles which you sent to our ministry. You have sent it in a good time, because last month our group of 50 men had 3 crusades in 2 African countries, Mozambique and Rwanda. I thank Jesus Christ because about 67 people got saved and about 43 people received baptismal. Praise God! Exclamation point.
Okay, and praise the Lord. And you know, this person that just wrote for a lot of Bibles and everything, I think he asked for 5 or 10 or 20,000 tracts. Send the tracts to him like that, and then also find out from him if there's a place in his country that we can print the tracts, because the government's raising up the price of mailing things out to the point of exasperation. And then also send him some Bibles too right away, 100 Bibles or something, maybe 200 of them. He asked for 1,000, but these new Bibles that we have, the Tony Lama Christian Bibles, they are very heavy. They're twice as heavy as most Bibles. It costs $12 a piece to just ship one of them. And so if we say it's send 100 of them, what's that? $1,200, isn't it? We send 200, that's $2,400. So, you know, we're not making any money. There's very few people tie it into us. We have to make the money. And it's not because of the fact that people don't believe us. There's millions of people that believe the message. They just broke. They just don't have any money. They've got enough maybe to eat, and if they don't, we help them, you know, with that. But, to have some of your wealthy friends listen to this program, and maybe they'll get saved. It's very hard for a rich person to enter into the kingdom of heaven or to loosen their purse strings, but if they have finances and they hear the truth and they love the truth, well, then we don't have to worry about them tithing in. They will. And then we'll have some good sponsors, and we'll be able to get in all over the world with more and more with our literature and the Bibles that we send out free of charge. But we'll also be able to get on television. Okay, then what?
These 43 people who received baptismal, since they were born, they were Muslims. But when they met me, when I was sharing your literature and the Holy Bibles, they asked me several questions about Jesus Christ, and I gave one copy each of your literature to every person to read. In 3 days' time, they met with me and gave me their ideas that they want to receive baptismal and to be Christians. I thank Jesus Christ because from now on they are Christians, but they asked me to have Holy Bibles. Now in Jesus Christ's name, please, please try to buy 43 Bibles for these brothers and sisters who are now Christians.
We just did a whole truck, a semi-load, and a half of a semi-load, so we'll get them to you right away. Get them to him right away, all right? That's 43. So that's 43 times 12. Oh, I see. Oh, okay, what else?
And try to send me another large box of literature for free distribution. If you have videotapes and cassette tapes, please send them to me for free distribution. Pray for me and all people in Malawi because of great hunger. People are now taking 2 weeks without eating food or porridge. I am very, very sorry for that which is happening in our country of Malawi. God bless you, Pastor Chibwana from Malawi, Africa.
Yeah, I can tell this person is definitely of the Lord. Tell them to send them $1,000, okay?
Okay.
All right, praise the Lord. Okay, so tell them it's for the food and things like that, so they don't starve to death over there. All right, this is part of the gospel too, folks, you know. I'm not doing this to exalt ourselves. It's just doing what the Lord says, amen?
Amen.
I'm not bragging about it. I'm just thanking God that he gave us an extra $1,000 here to send to him. Okay, and then what else was the next letter from?
From Ashanti, Ghana, Africa.
Okay.
Dear sir, thank you for reaching the world with your Christian materials and accomplishing the mission to, quote, go into all nations and proclaim my word, unquote. May the Lord bless you and expand your territory. I was under the shackles of the devil, destroying the temple of the Lord and satisfying my own selfish desires. However, I was fortunate to listen to your tape at a friend's house. My life has since never been the same because I am newly born again or a new convert. I am inexperienced and very new to the things of Christ. I therefore need someone to guide me so that I wouldn't fall prey again to the adversities of the devil. If you can introduce me to a personal Christian advisor that I would wholeheartedly take as my Christian mom or dad, I would cherish it. I would cherish it. Moreover, send me Christian materials like tapes.
Well, wait a minute. Well, who do you think I am? You don't have to be introduced anymore. Here I am.
Amen.
Okay, I'll tell you all about the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
You've already found him, my friend. Okay, then what else?
Moreover, send me Christian materials like tapes, books, and Bibles in different translations and the like. I hope if you send me these requests, it would let me grow more in Christ. Please, I also experience the urge to do the work of God. Could you please introduce me to a Bible school over there? Thank you, and may God bless you. Yours in Christ, Frank from Ashanti, Ghana.
Over here he's talking about?
Yes.
Well, I'm the Bible school here in the United States. All right?
Amen.
We don't give out doctorates of divinity, nor do we give out doctorates of, Susie used to call it, of stupidity. All right? But we have all the literature, and you'll grow very quickly if you read it, and then check it out to see that it's absolutely 100% pure from the Bible. Okay, so that was the letters, and now we go into the 13th chapter of Mark. 37 verses, translation and commentary. Go ahead.
Jesus foretells the future. Translation, verse 1. As Jesus was leaving the temple that day, one of his disciples said, quote, "Teacher, look at these tremendous buildings!" Exclamation mark. "Look at the massive stones in the walls!" Exclamation mark, unquote. Verse 2. Jesus replied, quote, "These magnificent buildings will be so completely demolished that not one stone will be left on top of another."
That happened during 70 A.D., where King Titus, the Roman king, came in there, the emperor, and destroyed Jerusalem. Bashed Jewish chosen people, Jewish babies, on the walls in there, and slaughtered people. Cut women's stomachs open and tore the babies out of their stomachs. And God was so angry at them because they knew the truth and they didn't do what he said. You say, well, I can't serve a God like that. Well, then the same thing will happen to you, because God is not a Democrat, Republican, but this is, he's a theocrat, okay? He's a theocracy. He's a dictator. And you'll do what he says or else you'll have to pay the consequences, because everyone has to face him whether they like it or not. And if you don't like him and it, you don't like your Creator, the one that's providing all the food and everything on earth today, and the one that sent his Son to die for you, well, then he's extremely angry at you and doesn't and wants to show you how angry he is, and he will. And the New Testament says that you people that are Christians, if you fall away from him, that there's no more forgiveness for you if you begin living a life of sin again. So if you're doing that, if I were you, I would get back if I could. Because God is not a kiddie. He's not a kidder. He's not kidding around with you or me. We have to keep consecrated. And we have to keep that consecration fresh no matter how old we get. I knew when I was in that prison for the gospel that I had to pray, Father, this is an environment that I know it's going to be a good one, because you're either you're going to win souls here through me. And it did. It won all kinds of El Rokans, which is one of the worst gangs in the world. The headquarters are up in Chicago, and then a whole lot of, and they're Muslims, and they're trained by Farrakhan to kill Whitey. It's not a religion. It's a religion of murdering white people and saying that we're of the devil when Jesus was white. And you want to know something? Muhammad was a white man. But they're so ignorant that they don't know that. If they'd read their own Quran, they'd know that Muhammad was a white man, and Jesus was and still is a Jew, and you know, and I'm a Jew, and I guess you could say we have olive skin, green skin, I guess, olive colored skin, and so we're neither white nor black or beige, but we're green, olive colored skin, and but these are all Muslims, and I've won so many of them in prison that I couldn't even count them all. Even one of them, Reggie Jackson, who was the head of the Bone Gang in Memphis, a real bad black man, became as tame as a little lamb, and he wrote 3 pieces of literature. They're available if you want them, and they were very good. He's an excellent writer, and he... At one time, at least, he seemed to be of the Lord. And I don't know, I've lost track of him down through the years. All right, let's continue on.
Verse 3. Later, Jesus sat on the slopes of the Mount of Olives across the valley from the temple. Peter, James, John, and Andrew came to him privately and asked him, verse 4, quote, when will all this take place? And will there be any sign ahead of time to show us when all this will be fulfilled? Unquote. Verse 5. Jesus replied, quote, don't let anyone mislead you. Verse 6, because many will come in my name, claiming to be the Messiah. They will lead many astray. Verse 7, and wars will break out near and far. But don't panic. Yes, these things must come, but the end won't follow immediately. Verse 8, nations and kingdoms will proclaim war against each other, and there will be earthquakes in many parts of the world.
Okay, that's happened. Amen.
Amen.
Then what?
And famines.
That's happening. Amen.
Amen.
Then what else?
But all this will be only the beginning of horrors to come. Verse 9. But when these things begin to happen, watch out! Exclamation mark. You will be handed over to the courts and beaten in the synagogues.
That happened to me, and I know it happened to many other people, and they killed the people over at Waco, and they were Christians. They were not what the news media painted them to be. And also Jim Jones, I never met him personally, but there was a lot of his followers that escaped from Jonestown, and they stated that they never took Kool-Aid. Nobody over there would have been that stupid to do that. Jim Jones could have never talked him into doing it. He said that the government agents came over there and shot him with rifles. And there was a bullet hole in every one of them, and they were the ones that escaped in the forest, and they were trying to track him down, but they finally got away, and they started going to, they came to our church and told us what happened over there, and they just wanted people true Christian organizations to look like, make them look like a cult. When in reality, the Vatican is the biggest cult on the face of this earth, and the Bible says that cult is the mother of every evil thing that's happening on earth, every abomination, every sinful thing that's happening on earth today is coming right out of the Vatican in Rome. And it was happening back then too. They were the ones that fed the Christians to the lions. They were the ones that nailed Christ to the cross. It's just been that way. Satan never changes, and the Lord never changes either. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so keep going. As a matter of fact, these people are even worse today, because they're just making up rules, their own rules, as they go along. You know, if they want to target you, they'll do it, and they're doing it all over the world, and God's pouring out his wrath on them. You can see how the governments are straining now to try to clean up these cities and fix homes. It's costing them, they say, $200 billion just to rebuild, of your taxpayers' money, to rebuild the houses and the different businesses in New Orleans that their sins and the sins of this government has caused God to pour out his wrath. Now, don't believe Billy Graham and his son when they say, because they say they don't know. They don't know if homosexuals are going to hell, or adulterers, or fornicators, or other religions are going to hell, when the Bible plainly says anyone other than trying to get into the kingdom of heaven in any other way other than Christ are like thieves and robbers, and they are going to hell. For no thief shall enter the kingdom of heaven. No robber shall enter the kingdom of heaven. You must be born again of the Spirit, and you must be washed in Christ's blood and Christ only. Buddha obviously doesn't have any blood because he's a piece of stone or a piece of wood. And, you know, so he can't save your soul, neither can Muhammad, or either can Mary Baker Eddy, or Paramahansa Yogananda, or the Pope, or the Pope especially. I mean, this man is like the head of the world, all the abominations that are on the face of this earth, and all the people that agree with him, they're all going to hell with him if you don't repent. And you see all the kings of the earth, as it says in the Bible, and the high people of the earth will just gravitate to that Pope and to the cardinals and to the priests, and they will surround, and the bishops of that ugly cult. And you see them when they were just confirming this new judge before the Supreme Court. They all went to the Catholic, all these cardinals were standing around and everything, and the president, who's built monuments unto this evil organization. And they're really upset with me because I'm letting you know, stay out of that organization. The Lord says, come out from among her. If you're my people, come out of there. Because that place is the actual headquarters of Antichrist. All right, then what?
You will be accused before governors and kings of being my followers. This will be your opportunity to tell them about me.
Right, and that's what I do. Every time they put me in court. And then now they're saying, if you so much as mention the name of God in here, you're going to be put in prison for contempt of court. We'll put you in jail until you will renounce God Almighty. Why, you stinking little piece of flesh, you little hunk of dirt. God's going to stuff you so far down into hell, you judges, and all you political, as the Lord calls you, bastards. That means a person that doesn't have God for their father. You're going to hell. And I want you to know it before it happens. I want you to be tormented. I want you to send gifts because of when I die. Unless God just takes me up before that time. Because you're the most evil, wicked bunch of weasels that have ever been born on the face of this earth, and God said so, that the wickedness would be higher than ever before in the whole world, and the times would be more evil. You're evil, you're wicked, and you're going to hell in the lake of fire. If you think this is antiquated, you just see all the different scriptures being fulfilled before your very eyes. And I heard people on the television, on the news, saying that they thought it was the end of the world when those big waves were crashing inside of their houses. Well, it was the end of the world for some of them, and it's going to be the end of the world for all of you very soon. Mark my word, mark the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord. Then what?
Verse 10. And the good news, the gospel, must first be preached to every nation. Verse 11.
And that's happening. We're in every nation now. Amen?
Amen.
And now, I don't count that to the gospel that these false prophets that the Lord warned about, that's being preached. I mean, yeah, heresy's being preached in every nation too. But right now, yours truly is preaching the truth, and it's getting into every nation now. And so you're closer to the end of time than you ever knew. And there's a lot of other people that are believing this message that the Lord has given me, and they're out there too. There are hundreds of thousands of us, millions of us. And you can open a church with my literature in any area where you're at. Just use your home or your garage or something. Just show it to people, and if you want to gather together to worship and to read the Bible and to pray together, do it, because there's a lot to pray for. Amen?
Amen.
Come quickly, Lord Jesus. Amen. Okay, then what?
Verse 11, but when you are arrested and stand trial, don't worry about what to say in your defense.
Why? It's because God will do the talking right through your mouth, right? Is that what it says?
Amen.
Okay, read it.
Just say what God tells you to say, because God will give you the words.
Amen. He does every time. And I've been to trial a lot. I'm an expert at being in trials. They've dragged me in there for every false reason under the sun. Then what else?
Then it is not you who will be speaking, but the Holy Spirit.
Amen. That's what God wants, is for the Holy Spirit, for Him to talk through you and do the work. Not you or me. Then what?
Verse 12. Brother will betray brother to death. Fathers will betray their own children, and children will rise against their parents and cause them to be killed. Verse 13. And everyone will hate you because of your allegiance to me, but those who endure to the end will be saved. Verse 14. The time will come when you will see the sacrilegious object that causes desecration standing where it should not be.
Right, you see Satan exalting himself, and the people of Satan exalting themselves in the world. And even in Israel, you see it. The Jews have become a Roman rabbis. You can take the Jewish Defense League and the Catholic Defense League. They live in the same office together now. So they're the ones that caused the Jews to be put to death in over in Germany and Poland, Czechoslovakia, and they're the ones that the Jews said never again, but here they are joining up with these Vaticanites again, the very ones that killed them. Okay? Because Hitler was a Catholic, and he was studying to be a Catholic priest, and it was the popes that gave him enough money and to go ahead and build up this army so large that it took Russia and France and England and ourselves to beat him down. And after that, now we've taken our money and rebuilt Germany and Japan and all of our arch enemies back then. But these people were deceived into going into war with us, and we were deceived to go into war with them as well. And now we're paying the Internal Revenue Service, who is the Roman Catholic Collection Agency. They're the ones that put me in prison because I let that cat out of the bag. And they were the ones that brought up these false accusations. And they brought up false accusations. Mr. Bush picked up the telephone, told him to get me, because I brought out to light that he had six Nazi war criminals as his advisors. They were Nazis, and they were all Vaticanites, all Roman Catholic hierarchy. Now, there's millions of people in the Catholic Church that are really nice people that are not part of the Vatican, and they don't realize how evil that place is. But Martin Luther, not Martin Luther King, but Martin Luther went there. He traveled all the way from Germany to go there years ago, and when he saw the place, he said it was a sewer of corruption. And nothing has changed in that organization to this date. It just got worse and worse. Okay, then what?
Reader, pay attention! Exclamation mark. Quote, then those in Judea must flee to the hills. Verse 15. A person outside the house must not go back into the house to pack. Verse 16. A person in the field must not return even to get a coat. Verse 17. How terrible it will be for pregnant women and for mothers nursing their babies in those days. Verse 18.
Right, because there'll be plagues on the earth. People that they saw that big flood coming, they didn't have time to go and get a coat or shoes or anything. They had to get, you mean, they had to get going. And some of them even got killed while they were trying to get away. Then what else?
Verse 18, and pray that your flight will not be in winter. Verse 19, for those will be the days of greater horror than at any time since God created the world.
So God promises that wintertime is going to be a bad time for those that are lost. But he says, for the people that are consecrated unto him, for us not to worry. Everything's just going to be fine with us. All right, then what?
And it will never happen again. Verse 20. In fact, unless the Lord shortens that time of calamity, the entire human race will be destroyed. But for the sake of his chosen ones, he has shortened those days. Verse 21. Then if anyone tells you, quote, look, here is the Messiah, or there he is, don't pay any attention. Verse 22. For false messiahs and false prophets will rise up and perform miraculous signs and wonders so as to deceive, if possible, even God's chosen ones. Verse 23.
Right, they're saying, look at us, we went to the moon. Now these are prophets, satanic prophets, and they're supposed to be miracles. And look at us, we've got, we're sending pictures through wires now and all these things. We're gods, you know. We're the real gods. But the Lord says that we're supposed to belong to God, and if we do, then we belong to God. But that doesn't mean that we're gods. Amen?
Amen.
And the achievements that men do on this side of this world are nothing in comparison to him speaking the heavens and the earth into existence, the sun, the moon, and the stars, and for causing human beings to be made out of dirt and to actually be flexible enough to walk around without crumbling. And also all the other lives, like the fish and the fowl and all the grasses and the trees and vegetation and all the birds and all the other things that we see that God created. Man can never accomplish anything like that. And not only that, what is man going to do when they die? And they can't stop from dying. And God made it that way so that they have to. He gives us enough time in this world to get our souls together and dress for eternity. And then, if we don't, shame on you. Because the Lord is a good God, but he's also a severe God. And he's also not nice to people that are unappreciative of all the things that he has provided for you and myself in this world. And especially the salvation that he provided for you by the death of his Son, Christ Jesus. If you neglect such a great salvation as that, you will be, he will neglect you so far as allowing you into heaven, and you will pay for it eternally in hell in the lake of fire. Then what?
Verse 23, watch out! Exclamation mark. I have warned you! Exclamation mark.
That's Jesus speaking. Then what?
Verse 24, at that time, after those horrible days end, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give light. Verse 25.
Yeah, and God is going to cause that to happen. And all you geniuses and miracle workers, you're not going to be able to stop it. Okay? Then the stars are going to fall out of heaven, and you're going to have anguish and say, I don't want that to happen, but it's going to happen. All right? And then the earth is going to be moved off of its axis, and you're going to say, I don't want this. And the mountains will disappear, and the hills and the buildings will be down. It's going to be a lot worse than over at New Orleans. Amen?
Amen.
This is just the beginning. Just the beginning. Okay, then what?
The stars will fall from the sky, and the powers of heaven will be shaken. Verse 26. Then everyone will see the Son of Man arrive on the clouds with great power and glory. verse 27, and he will send forth his angels to gather together his chosen ones from all over the world, from the farthest ends of the earth and heaven. Verse 28, now learn a lesson from the fig tree. When its branch becomes tender and its leaves begin to sprout, you know without being told that summer is near.
Yeah, you can figure that out for yourself, right? And then what else?
Verse 29, just so, when you see the events I've described beginning to happen, you can be sure that his return is very near, right at the door.
It's just beginning to happen, you know, all these earthquakes and everything, and catastrophes, and people are wondering, they couldn't stop that tornado, that hurricane, rather, that came and hit all these, the Gulf Coast. They couldn't stop it. That general said, well, there's just something that we can't prevent. We have no control over. And I says, well, now you're getting smart, General. It just dawned on you, huh, that you don't have any control about that. Okay, well, now I'm glad to hear you smartening up. It's just too bad the other people in the world can't. And the president and all these people, these phonies that are becoming Supreme Court justices, they're not just at all. That they're voting that people can kill, murder, first-degree murder their children, and that they are deciding whether they should have same-sex marriages and all that sort of thing, which God despises. You people that do such things, the Bible says, you're fools because you don't believe there's a God and you don't believe there's a judgment. But just wait and see. You just wait and you'll see. Then what else?
Verse 30. I assure you, this generation will not pass from the scene until all these events have taken place.
So the Bible is, in essence, telling us that when we see all these things happening, that it's going to be the wind-up. It's the end. Okay, then what?
Verse 31. Heaven and earth will disappear, but my words shall remain forever.
Right, there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. Because God's going to burn this one to a crisp, and even heaven, because there was sin there. God hates sin so much that he's going to burn this world up, and heaven as well, because Satan was there, so that everything is going to be clean and new and fresh, and the only ones that will survive in heaven are the ones that are pure and clean, that kept their consecration fresh, new, alive to the end. You must stay consecrated. Some people say, well, I've been saved for 41 years like myself, so now's the time. I mean, I put in enough. If I go another 40 years, I'm going to keep my consecration new and fresh and alive, okay? And I'm going to keep preaching this gospel because I don't believe time's going to go on that long, but if it does, and I'm alive, I'll be just preaching the same gospel. Okay, then what?
Verse 32, however, no one knows the day or the hour when these things will happen, not even the angels in heaven or the Son himself. Only the Father knows.
Well, the Lord knows it now because he is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So he knows that he's in heaven. And when you're in heaven, you know all things. Okay, then what? He didn't know it then because he was in the flesh. Then what else?
Verse 33, and since you don't know when they will happen, stay alert and keep watch.
Keep your consecration. Keep alive. Praying. And then what?
Verse 34. The coming of the Son of Man can be compared with that of a man who left home to go on a trip. He gave each of his employees instructions about the work they were to do, and he told the gatekeeper to watch for his return. Verse 35. So keep a sharp lookout! For you do not know when the homeowner will return. At evening, midnight, early dawn, or late at daybreak. Verse 36, don't let him find you sleeping when he arrives without warning. Verse 37, for I say to you, I say to everyone, quote, watch for his return!
All right, so that was the 37 verses of chapter 13 of Mark, and now we have commentary.
Chapter 13, verses 1 through 20, the Olivet Discourse on the Mount of Olives, Chapter 13, verses 1 through 37, speaks to the all-too-human preoccupation with the uncertainty of the future. The disciples worried about the future of their nation after Jesus predicted the destruction of the temple that was then being rebuilt. You may worry about whether or not you will survive future conflicts and temptations. A lot of people think that we face an uncertain future. But the future is certain because we know the Word of God. The Word of God encourages us to live one day at a time because we can see that the world is coming to an end and that the coming of the Lord is at hand. God makes it clear that despite everything that is going wrong in this world today, that we are not to worry. Worry doesn't do anything for us. We just need to keep the commandments. If we entrust our life to God, His Spirit will be with us and in us during all the difficulties that are happening in this world today. Growing to the fullness of the stature is a day-by-day process, and it's always possible with God's help.
To the fullness of the stature of Christ. Okay, then what else?
And it's always possible with God's help that for sure we're going to grow.
Right, so if we are in the fullness of the stature, that means that we're enjoying the church life. In other words, we all go to church. And not to a heretic church, but to the church, the body of Christ. Then what?
13 verses 21 through 37. Jesus did not reveal when the end exactly to the day and hour would come. But this should motivate us to remain alert and be watchful from now until the end. As we are unsure of the exact date of the end of the world, we are also uncertain about the timing and difficulties that we will be facing. But we know that we're more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. And we know that if we grow in the Lord, we can be joyful no matter what difficulties in the future we'll be going through. We are never at all supposed to be worried about any of these things. So we always need to be growing to the fullness of the stature of Christ. We will experience total victory on a day-to-day basis as we just trust in the Lord, as we are constantly being made into stronger and more powerful new people. Preparation for the Lord's return must be made one day at a time. We are not able to calculate the day of His return, and it really doesn't make any difference. As long as we don't believe that we're going to be raptured out of this world until the time of the end of the Great Tribulation.
Right. The Lord says immediately after the Great Tribulations, then He's coming back to take us away. So don't believe in the false prophets. Remember, Jesus warns you about that many times. Believe the Scriptures. He said immediately after the Tribulations, He's coming back to get us. All right, then what?
Immediately after the tribulations, the Lord said He's coming back to earth again. So there's no point in trying to change those scriptures to make yourself feel better, because you won't be prepared for all the trials and tribulations that we're going to be going through.
And you won't feel better, because anyone that tries to change the Word of God is cursed. And that means you're not going to make it to heaven. Then what?
You will actually start believing that the things the false prophets are saying are the Word of God, and they're not. And we're not going to change immediately before He comes. We must change on a daily basis and prepare ourselves for whatever comes or goes, one day at a time. These actions are important and keys to our spiritual growth to the fullness of the stature of Christ.
Oh, well, I was hoping that we'd have some time here to do a consecration message, but we don't today. We'll try to accomplish that tomorrow. Our time is up, and so I just want to say, one day at a time, keep your consecration. Stay consecrated to the Lord. And then don't worry about tomorrow or how long it's going to take. You might die tonight, and if you do, then you're consecrated to Him. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so this is Pastor Tony Alamo. Saying God bless you and praise the Lord. Amen.
Amen.